This is Stephen Strang. The Pentecostal movement is continuing to grow worldwide, and today, my very special guest, Dr. George Wood, is going to bring us an update and also tell us about a very important meeting that's happening in Jerusalem on Pentecost Sunday. You're going to want to stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to my podcast. And I am so honored to have Dr. George Wood, the past General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God. And if you know anything about me, you know that that is my denominational heritage, and I guess still is, since I attended Assemblies of God. And Dr. Wood is in our studio today. We're talking business, and I wanted to pull him in and find out an update on what is going on, because here at Charisma, of course, we have been reporting that for years, and we're always looking for new information. So I'll start by welcoming you to my podcast. It's an honor to have you here.
Thank you, Steve. It's an honor to be here and appreciate you so very much and your kindness to me and your support of our Assemblies of God Fellowship and the broad Pentecostal charismatic movement as well over the years. You are a great blessing. And it's a special privilege to be here and to see your operation and to see what God has done through you in the past and what he's doing through you even now. You know, the Assemblies of God, I got a letter one time when I was general superintendent that was addressed to me, but they misspelled the name of Assemblies of God. They addressed it to Dr. George Wood, Assemblies of Good. And they put that extra O in there, and I thought, I like that, because the Assemblies of God attempts to also be the Assemblies of Good. And we've seen remarkable growth around the world. I currently serve as chairman of the World Assemblies of God Fellowship. And we have ballpark around 370,000 churches now around the world, close to 70 million believers. I think it was Christianity Today that recently identified us as the fourth or the fifth largest Christian movement in the world, which kind of surprised us because we don't think of ourselves in those terms. I grew up after my parents came home from the mission field in China and Tibet. My dad pastored small churches, and when 120 people showed up one time, I thought the whole world had come. I was not used to that big a crowd. So to be thinking in terms of the kind of growth we've experienced is really most remarkable, and it really has happened because I think that we have tried as best as possible to replicate what the apostles taught so that there's solidity and soundness in doctrine. There is focus on mission. There's focus on fellowship. There's focus upon the fact that what Jesus promised to his first century disciples is available to his 21st century disciples. So for all those reasons and many more, we've seen this remarkable growth all around the world, and it continues to today.
Well, that's interesting, and you are commenting about the Assemblies of God. Of course, that's a phrase out of the Bible. It's not well known. Of course, the Assemblies of God now is very well known, as you say. And we're going to have to look into those statistics because we try to keep up with it. Of course, the Assemblies of God is substantial in our country, and we recently reported that it's grown for the last 17 years in a row. And of course, that would have been during your tenure. How long were you general superintendent?
I was general superintendent 10 years, and prior to that, I was general secretary for 14 years. So I was an officer of the general council for total 24 years altogether. But we, in my 10 years as general superintendent, we gave a tremendous focus to church planting. And in those 10 years, we saw 3,000 new churches in the U.S. that were planted, and we're grateful for that.
I just found out this week something about my own heritage in the Assemblies of God. The Assemblies of God had its centennial in 2014, as you well remember, and you'll remember that Charisma did a cover story.
Right, thank you.
That I wrote, and it caused me to also write about some of my own history. And my grandparents were, we called them pioneer pastors in Kansas. And I said that my grandmother had been ordained in 1914. And of course, that was the year the movement started.
Right.
And my grandfather in 1919. Well, we fact checked it with your archives, and they could find my grandfather in 1919. They could not find my grandmother. And so I thought, okay, this is a family myth, and I've quit saying it. So your archivist, Aaron Rogers, who's become my friend, sent me this week a clip from Alton, Illinois, a little notice of a revival meeting with L.C. Hall, who is one of the founders, and some other people, and it listed Evangelist Alice Kersey, who is my grandmother. And so Darren is speculating that because she was listed as an evangelist, she must have been ordained, but nobody bothered to send this information to headquarters until 1917. And so he was speculating that our oral history was right. And I remember growing up, I heard that there was an Assemblies of God in Memphis, Tennessee that had 1,000 members, and we couldn't imagine such a thing.
Absolutely.
And, you know, my dad pastored, and I know there were probably never 150 people in that church. It seemed like a big church to me, but when I've gone by to see it, it's not that big at all. I guess that's your perspective as a kid. But I can remember when I was growing up, people, they were longing for the revivals of early Pentecost, and they were bemoaning the fact that the Assemblies of God was going the direction of all denominations, which was kind of decline. And then the charismatic movement started. And, you know, of course, I was a kid back then and a teenager, but I remember that a lot of people who received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they'd go to whatever church they went to in the morning, and they'd come over to the Assembly of God at night, and then gradually started going. And so at least during that era, that provided a growth spurt. But now it's, you know, of course, there's all these cycles, ups and downs, and you're telling me that this is a period of growth, which is absolutely astounding because most denominations are in some level of decline.
Right. It's really been bucking the trend. And, you know, I think there are a lot of reasons for this. One is that we have not deviated from the foundational principles which we started with. Another is we've tried to be flexible on things where you can be flexible, worship style, for example. Some churches get so rutted in their preferences for how things are done that they fail to adjust and keep pace with the culture. Just funny story about this. People like me are called classical Pentecostals, but I had a church full of charismatics, so I've always straddled both ends of the spectrum, from charismatic to classical Pentecostal. But part of being a classical Pentecostal, and I don't like the word classical, but that's the term others have given, is that we love hymns. And I miss the hymns in the church because I grew up I knew all the pages. So a few years ago here in Orlando at our general council where we have about 30,000 people come, it's the evening service. I'm going to speak that evening. I'm standing on the front row. The worship band is leading. My grandson, who was then 16, is standing next to me. And all of a sudden, the band starts playing a song. And I don't recognize it. I don't like the words. I don't like the whole syncopation of it. And I'm muttering to myself, not out loud, but how did that get on the program? I thought I vetted everything. How did that get by me? I can't stand that song. And I look to my left where my grandson, 16 years of age, is standing. He has both hands up in the air worshiping with the song. I thought, you know what? I can set aside my preference because I'm with the younger generation. I'd rather have the younger generation in the church than have my hymns back, you know? I guess that's how I ultimately looked at it. I tell grandparents this all the time, you know, which is more important to you, just doing it the way we always did it or being flexible in style to reach a current generation. And I realize some churches go overboard. They change so fast that they drop people like flies, you know, in the process. But there is a calibrated change. And one of the unique things, too, about the Assemblies of God is that we are every church is sovereign in the sense that it elects its own leadership, it owns its own property. As long as it agrees with doctrine and mission, it can be very flexible in how it does church, so to speak. And then I think there has also been the increasing ethnic diversity of our fellowship. We are now about 42% ethnic minority in the Assemblies of God. And that's not just groups that are segmented as a kind of a cloister to themselves, but that's across the board. Our churches are wonderfully representative of the tapestry of cultures that are in their community. And I think that has been also a very strong point and has been very helpful in the growth of our fellowship. We've also placed a lot of emphasis upon church revitalization. Over 2,000 of our churches have been through a year-long revitalization program, which was directed out of our national office by Alton Garrison. I think you know Alton, who was then assistant general superintendent and served with me. So a lot of these things kind of came together, and I think, you know, there's not one single bullet that explains, you know, for the continual growth, but it's a mixture of a number of things that came together. And of course, most importantly was the Lord's favor and the Lord's blessing, because he's the one that builds the church. We don't. We just sow the seed. and he's the one that has to give it growth.
Well, what you said about music is how I feel too, although I enjoy the new songs, but I kind of miss the hymns. And I remember at the Centennial, you had one night in which you brought out all this hymns, you know, from the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. Yep. And that was, I just enjoyed that a lot. But you're right, we do have to change with the times, and the culture's changed so much. But the Assemblies of God, there's a foundation that I think that people actually long for, with all how everything is just topsy-turvy, and you go there and there's a solidity, at least that's my observation. And it's interesting that you said the ethnic diversity. I had not known that about the Assemblies. Here at Charisma Media, the last time we took a poll, we were 43% ethnic minority, a lot of them Puerto Ricans, but of course Asians and African Americans as well. And Charisma started, as I kind of referred to earlier, at an Assemblies of God congregation here in the Orlando area. And while we have been known more for the non-denominational charismatics, it has always been very important for me to report on the Pentecostals, and it was the Catholic charismatics that came up with the term classical. And of course, they're the ones that came up with the word charismatic too, which of course refers to gifts of the Spirit. But you know, part of our mission, particularly with our media side, our magazine and so forth, is to report what's going on that nobody else bothers with. Like, not very many people report on the International Pentecostal Holiness Movement and the Church of God in Christ. And we've probably had five Church of God in Christ bishops on the cover of Charisma over the years. And, you know, one segment of the body of Christ often doesn't know about other segments. And so we've always seen ourselves as bridge builders. And then the wider culture knows even less, unless there's something, and it's usually some kind of scandal or something that they want to criticize, and then they play it up when that's not necessarily indicative at all. So it's wonderful to find out that in spite of the culture going, I call it going left, you know, that is not just politically, but in every other way. I mean, when you and I were children, could we have imagined men marrying men and women marrying women? We couldn't have imagined it. And of course, that kind of change has just come so rapidly. And, you know, even the move toward gambling becoming very, very common. I mean, just a lot of things that were unimaginable. But yet, during all this, the church is continuing to grow. And I think that that's encouraging. It shows that people still have a need for God. And, you know, this is the subject of another podcast probably, and I probably need to pick your brain because you'd be a good resource. But I see the beginnings of some revivals happening. Kanye West's conversion comes to mind, so we can look forward to it. And let's segue into talking about Empowered 21. This was something that actually started 10 years ago, kind of as an offshoot of the Pentecostal Centennial, which took place in 2006. And it was an effort to try, I guess, to bring together Pentecostals and Charismatics and not use either term. So they came up with the term empowered, which implies being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And they're having a meeting. And every 5 years, they have a gathering in Jerusalem. And then on the in-between years, they have gatherings in different parts of the world on Pentecost weekend or Pentecost Sunday or very, very close to it. And I know you're going to be there in Jerusalem. I think you're maybe the co-chair.
I'm co-chair with Dr. Billy Wilson, who's president of ORU.
So tell me and tell my listeners about this and how they could find out more information.
Well, the website is Jerusalem2020.com, and you can find out the information regarding that. Empowered 21 really brings together a wide variety of people across the charismatic and Pentecostal movements. And I've so appreciated getting to know leaders from around the world. And Empowered 21 Congress in Jerusalem will probably be attended by about somewhere between 5,000 and 7,000 people from around the world. There are delegations coming from Latin America, from Asia, from Africa, from North America, Australia, New Zealand, all around the world. And 5 years ago, we had it in Jerusalem as well, and it was a tremendous event. We decided to go back to Jerusalem. I think it's one of the largest, if not the largest, Christian conference that's held in Israel, working with also the local Messianic and Arab Christian communities in preparation for the Congress. We start on May 31st at the Southern Steps. The Southern Steps are exactly that. They're to the south of the Temple Mount. It's where, in Jesus' day, temple worshipers entered and exited. So we're going to have about 1,000 people for that service on Pentecost Sunday night. It's going to be televised worldwide. And we have a number of people that are going to give short, riveting testimonies of what God has done through the Spirit in their lives. Robert Starnes is taking care of the music on that night. And then we transition into the main arena that seats about 7,000 for June 1, 2, and 3 for the rest of the conference. But we have outstanding charismatic and Pentecostal speakers from all around the world that will be speaking great worship. Great time for seeing the richness of the variety of the body of Christ as it gathers from literally all the ends of the earth. So really looking forward to it, and encourage people who are listening to this podcast to go to the website, Jerusalem2020.com, and see what is available and get registered today.
Well, I had the privilege to be there in 2015, and you're talking about it brought back memories. And I remember it must have been the last night they had a prayer tunnel.
Right.
Now, this is something you don't see very often. Sometimes kind of wild charismatics do it. And
we used to call it the Holy Ghost washing machine, you know, when you go through the line. That was the camp meeting term for it.
And they assigned different leaders to different parts of this huge arena. And I was in the Chinese section.
Really? Wow.
And those people were, how do I say it? They were kind of wild. Wild in the spirit.
Yeah.
Of course, there was a language barrier, but it didn't bother me. I just prayed in tongues, and and I didn't know if they were praying in Chinese or whatever, but the Lord was touching them, and it was just one of the most powerful spiritual experiences of my life, I think. You know, I cooperated. I knew it'd be nice. I did not expect to be touched personally in the way I was touched, and I just remembered that, and don't think I've ever talked about it before. I mean, it was, you know, over there, and by the time I got home, I guess it didn't get into our report. But I'm so glad to have you here and to give us an update. There's so much more that can be said, but at least this will give people a kind of a taste of what to expect with Empower 21, and also a little update on the Assemblies of God. And I'll be able to write about it in my newsletter, and of course, we'll put this on the Charisma Podcast Network. And I'll encourage people, if you like this podcast, to share it with friends. That's how my podcast has grown. Over the weekend, I just did a little analysis and looked at some reports the staff had given me. And my podcast this year so far, and we're recording this in February of 2020, is double what it was for the entire year 2018. So that's pretty remarkable growth. And it's because people like you tune in day after day. Thank you very much. And also sharing it with friends on social media. So I think we'll leave it there, but I'll give you the last word, Dr. Wood.
Well, thank you so much. And it's just a joy to have this time with you, and pray that the Lord's good blessing will be upon you. One of my favorite scriptures is, "Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine." And by asking or imagining, the Lord is telling us it's okay to have dreams, it's okay to have vision, which you have plenty of. But when you come to what God can do yet, throw away the measuring stick, throw away the ruler, the yardstick, the tape measure, because you can't measure all that God is going to do. In fact, I wish sometimes I had a telephone line to Paul's prison cell in Rome, where he wrote the Ephesian letter, and to say to him, "Hey, Paul, I'm with Steve Strang today, and we're doing a podcast in Lake Mary, Florida, and we're talking about your great phrase, to him who's able to do immeasurably more." And he would say, "What? What did you, this 2020? 2020? What is that? You mean 2,000 years have gone by? You mean Florida? Where is that? Well, it's in the United States. Where is that? Well, that's North America. I'm not familiar with that. You mean... And how did you get my prayers? Did the copy that I wrote, did it survive? Well, Paul, the original didn't survive because it was fragile. But you know, about 500 years ago, there was a printing press that was invented, and your letter to the Ephesians is in the Bible, and it's the most widely sold, widely read book in the whole wide world, and so Paul, what you wrote is not only strengthened the Ephesian church, but it strengthened believers for 2,000 years, including us today. We're talking about you." And I can see Paul lean back in his prison cell and say, "Well, God must have done the immeasurable more."
That's absolutely right. And you wouldn't know this, but that's my favorite scripture too.
It's mine too.
So we have a lot in common.
All right.
Thank you so much, Dr. George Wood, for being on my podcast today. And thank you for listening on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.